That's what we're doing. We're starting a series now this morning on John's Gospel, believing on the Christ, the Son of God, for eternal life. And the lesson that we have here this morning is believing on Christ as the Son of God with full deity, out of John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. John's Gospel was written that its readers might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name, to quote John 20:31 in the King James Version. However, many groups deny some or all aspects of his being fully God, so for our insight, we need to study John 1, 1, 2, and 3 that gives precise, comprehensive theological assertions about Jesus' deity. And I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word this morning. Father, we thank you for your tremendous love and your grace. Thank you for your word and for the Holy Spirit who indwells us and who is our teacher and who equips us with the power even to obey the word of God and even wanting to obey the word of God. We ask this morning that as we get into your word that we would understand the text and use it and be able to apply it effectively for life and for service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses that are our text this morning and then we'll study them. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John uses very simple vocabulary there, but it's extremely important and very profound and has tremendous application in regards to where we stand on the deity of Jesus Christ versus the cults. And I want to explain this in depth. First of all, Christ is an eternal being. Though the Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus is a created being and the Mormons hold that he was the offspring of Adam and Mary, Gary Wall, I'm quoting him, he wrote a catalog of the cults where they stand on the deity of Christ in Moody Monthly back in 1979. John chapter 1, verse 1 in the King James Version claims, in the beginning was the Word, a reference to Jesus Christ according to John 1, 14 and 1, 17. You see, in John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And then John clarifies that this Word that dwelt amongst us in the flesh in John 1:17 is Jesus Christ. So for all practical purposes, we can refer to the Word as being Jesus Christ. That's what he means. Now, the Greek text has no article with the word beginning. In fact, if you read it in the Greek text, it says in beginning. It's indefinite, what they call it's an anarthrous noun. And that has led the Jehovah's Witnesses to translate this in a different way than we do. Now, Greek nouns, however, can still be definite, whether or not the Greek definite article is present. Not in English. In English, if you said in beginning, you would have to translate it in a beginning. It'd be any beginning. If you wanted it definite, you'd have to have the article. But in the Greek language, it can be definite even if you don't have the article. It depends on the context, so you have to keep that in mind. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses have translated this differently. Since this beginning precedes the John 1:3 creation of the universe, it must be the beginning of eternity past and not some indefinite beginning in time, which is a beginning like the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation treats it, and allowing room for Jesus to come into being from after eternity past. See, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll take Greek and they'll say, well, the Greek Testament says this and so forth. What they're doing is they're making a misapplication of the text. It is true that under certain circumstances, if you don't have the definite article, it can mean a beginning, but it does not have to be. And in the context here, John is not saying that Jesus is a created being who is created at some time after the eternity past. In fact, he's laboring hard to do just the opposite. So in this text, in this context, John 1:1 meant that Christ has existed forever from eternity past. And the way we have it in the King James Version, if you have it in the New International Version, English Standard Version, in the beginning is a correct translation because of the context. Now, we also know that Jesus is distinct in personality from God the Father. Unitarians believe in one God and not the Trinity, and Victor Paul Weirwill, who's the founder of the Way International, denies that Jesus is God, and thus he denies the Trinity. But John 1:1 states, "And the Word was with God." Now, the term "with" translates the preposition pros, and in this context, pros means to be in company with someone. So Jesus, as the Word, was not only eternal, but he was eternally in the company of God the Father as a personality who was and who is distinct from the Father. We don't have proof of the Trinity in this passage, but we do have proof that there's more than one person in the Godhead. There's no question. The Word was with God. Now, Christ is also fully God along with God the Father. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that since John 1:1 in the Greek texts omits the definite article before theos, the word for God, in the phrase, "and the Word was God," that it should read, "and the Word was a God," much like Mormons say that Jesus is one of many gods. Well, this claim overlooks what they know as the Colwell rule in Greek grammar, that if a definite predicate nominative precedes the verb, like it does here, it has no article. Actually, if you were to read it in the Greek, you would say, "God was the Word." Okay, and actually, we translate "the Word was God," but the predicate nominative, in Greek, you can move the nouns, you can move them all over the place, and they do here, and he's doing it for emphasis. God was the Word. In other words, he's actually trying to say the Word was God. That's how you would read it, but since there's no article in front of it, the Jehovah's Witnesses say the Word was a God, which doesn't do justice, actually, to the syntax of the Greek, let alone to the grammar itself. This rule overlooks the Colwell rule. Also, the Jehovah's Witnesses claims that Jesus was a God errs theologically. John, you'll remember, was an Orthodox Jew who believed in one God as a monotheist. Remember John 10, verse 30? Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." And the famous Jewish Shema, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord is one Lord. Our Lord is one. Or God is one." John, as a Jew, would never say Jesus was one of many gods, because that would make him a polytheist, and no Jew was a polytheist, especially coming back from Babylon, where they had been put into judgment by God because they had started worshiping a group of pagan gods as polytheists. So they'd been punished for that, so they learned the hard way not to be polytheistic. John, an Orthodox Jew who believed in one God as a monotheist, that means one God, would never, like a polytheist, promote Jesus as one of many gods. Rather, John meant the Word was the God, and therefore he asserted full deity for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that when John started out his gospel, remember, John wrote sometime after Matthew, Mark, and Luke had written their gospels. They wrote their gospels, around the late 30s, early 40s AD. John wrote his gospel around 90 AD. We're looking at a span of over 45, 50 years later. And by then, there had been a number of cults and errors that had arisen. So John started off his gospel and said, "Listen, as someone who knew Jesus Christ personally, you've got to get this straight. He was God." And he starts his gospel right off this way. We are talking about God in the flesh. And he makes no bones about it. He doesn't beat around the bush. And that's what he was trying to do. Then Christ is the unchangingly eternal God. The Sanatana Dharma Foundation and others hold that Jesus was a mere man who attained a higher level of consciousness or deity. But John 1:2 claims the same was in the beginning with God. Now, since John 1:1 already establishes that Christ was the eternal God, John 1:2 claims that he has eternally remained the same, that he has neither been detracted from nor added to in regards to his initial deity. There were some cults, like the cult of Cerinthus, this is in the first century AD, who believe that When Jesus was baptized, his deity came upon him, but his deity left him before he was crucified, so it came and went. There are other groups that believe that Jesus wasn't God until, or he didn't have his Christ consciousness until he was baptized, and then the Christ consciousness came upon him. Other than that, he's just a regular man. But this counters that. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. He didn't change throughout eternity. So he is the unchangingly eternal God. And then also Christ is the creator God of all creation. John 1:3. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons claim that Jesus was a created being. In fact, I believe it's Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers, but Satan was the bad seed and Jesus was the good seed. If you can, you know, that's what they say. Anyway, they say that Jesus was a created being, but John 1:3 reveals that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is one of the strongest assertions in Scripture about a truth, because John, first of all, states it in the positive. In the positive, he says all things were made by him. But then he turns around and he states it in the negative. And without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, John wants us to get the very clear picture that Jesus is the creator of everything that was ever created, period. Now, it's impossible for a being to create himself. It goes without saying. I mean, as a being, you can create something else. And it's conceivable for God to create other beings, but for Jesus to create himself is impossible. We don't create ourselves. We came into existence totally apart from our own initiative. Since Jesus could not create himself, he never was created. If he never was created, he is the creator God. And that's what John is laboring very hard to say. This verse, John 1:3, counters Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many, many other cults. It also counters the belief that often occurs in some areas of Christendom that Jesus is somehow less than God the Father. Not so. God the Father and Jesus Christ have the same attributes and so forth, and Jesus is the one through whom God created the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that through whom he created the worlds. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:3 that all things are in existence and they're held together in their existence by the word of Christ. See, Christ was the one who spoke the word, let there be light. There was light. Christ was the one who spoke the word and said, let there be land animals, or let there be the sun and the moon and the star and so forth. Jesus spoke it. So everything that you see around you, including yourself, that very existence is an existence because the word of Jesus Christ is sustaining it. That's very powerful. So since no being creates himself, Jesus as the creator God of all that was ever created was never created. So John 1, 2, and 3 with John 1:14, which says that Jesus is, the word was God made flesh. And John 1:17 says that this word is none other than Jesus Christ. John 1, 1-3 with 14 and 17 teaches that Jesus Christ is the unchangingly eternal, fully creator God, distinct in person from God the Father, thus to be believed and to worshiped as fully God. So may we trust in Jesus as the Son of God, that is, as fully God, for eternal life.